Welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I am your fat host, Ash, and today I am interviewing Kat Polavoda, who you may know as the owner of Kat's Closet, an online plus reseller. But as you may have heard, there are so many exciting things going on, and Kat's Closet is now being rebranded and will be called Cake Plus Size. And we'll be opening a brick and mortar store in the Twin Cities area. And if you don't know what I mean by Twin Cities, I'm talking about St. Paul and Minneapolis, Minnesota. But don't worry if you're not local, because Cake will continue to have an online presence for those of us who are not in the area. So Kat and I chatted about her business and her background, where she came from and where she's going. And we also talked about her Indiegogo campaign for Cake Plus Size, which is super important, so I'm going to include the link at the end of the episode and then again in the show notes. So please check that out and consider donating. It's a great cause, and Kat is providing an amazing service. So let's get right into the interview. Let's start with your story. So, like, where are you from? How did you grow up? All that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you want to know all this info too. So, I'm from the Midwest. I'm originally from Wisconsin, but in eighth grade, we moved to Minnesota. My parents got divorced. My mom finally moved to Minnesota like she'd always wanted to. And I switched schools. And my life kind of got better in Minnesota. So I always say that I'm from Minnesota. That's where I am now. And yeah, that's where I'm from. So, I don't know, when I was little, I was just like a very verbal kid, talking incomplete sentences before people probably should be. And I also had a super active imagination and just always, I was just always kind of caught up in my ideas in my head and like stories. And I was also a little bit bossy, but I think that is a trait that has served me well. Coming from like being a kid into adulthood, but one of the biggest, the biggest influences, or one of the most influential things that has happened in my life, or like helped me grow up, is that I was an exchange student between high school and college. I'm from a smaller town in Minnesota. So though I am a city person through and through now, I'm from a smaller town, and I was very much like a big fish in a small pond kind of situation. Right. Like I was super comfortable in my town. Everyone knew me. Everything was great, but it's because like there was just, a couple thousand people. So I went to Germany. I was in Frankfurt, Germany for almost a year, when I was 18, and it was the best situation because, I had already graduated from high school. But I was in high school there, so like the grades didn't matter. I just needed to not mess up too much. And it was a really, really great experience. So I think that was, just like really huge and kind of forming me into the person that I am today. I don't know if it's relevant, but it was through the Rotary Youth Exchange, and I'm just forever grateful, because man, it's not something that we could have afforded to do. With the Rotary, it's like a lot of it, you are responsible for your ticket and then, a few other things, but you receive, a stipend once you're there from your host Rotary club. You live with families. I was with two different families. They're both really great. And just like, we traveled a lot and they, paid for a lot of things. It was wonderful. And an experience that I never would have had, outside of, the Rotary, like offering that opportunity. It was really great.
Awesome. So you were like a little adventurer from early on. Like taking on big, scary things.
Yes. And I just always, I come back to this idea of like being someone who creates their own opportunities. And I really think I'm that kind of person. Like if there's something I want to do, I will make it happen. I will find a way to make it be. Yeah.
Yeah. That's excellent. I love that. I mean, I'm a little bit of the same way.
Yes. I think it's good for us.
Yeah. What age were you when you were an exchange student?
I was 18. I was 18 and I came back and I went to college, and I went to college at Hamline University here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I was here for lots of years. And then I went to grad school in Texas, at Texas A&M Commerce. It's it's like between Dallas and Texarkana in Texas. And it was a great experience. And then I moved to New Orleans for a job and a man shortly after, like when I graduated grad school. And I was there for almost 3 years. And then about like a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, so like a couple days before the Christmas holiday, December 2015, I moved back to Minnesota. And I've been kind of back here ever since, really focused on my business stuff. And I like to say I'm sort of like a globetrotter turned homebody, because truly, like, since I've been home, I don't go anywhere. I'm going to a wedding in August, and it's like the first time I've gone anywhere since I moved back. I'm just really like focused on being here.
Excellent. Excellent. So how did your business come to be? Like, what motivated you to start like your original business, which was Cat's Closet, right?
Yeah. And this, I just see like we have a new name, but it's just like an extension of the same thing. So I started in January of 2014. I had like extra clothes that I wanted to get rid of and could use the extra cash. So I thought I'd sell them. So I took a bunch of pictures and everything, because I'm a firm believer. Like, I'm not really someone who's honestly normally inclined to buy things online, but if I do, I need to see it on a person. And so I was just going to post things on eBay, but I took pictures and everything to be able to do just that, like show people, you know, what it's like on a person. Mm-hmm. But before I posted them on eBay, I was like, well, maybe there are people in my world who would be interested in this. I had done like some clothing swaps, you know, kind of organized things with friends and students before. And I, you know, people had like often complimented me on my style. And so I thought, well, maybe there's people in my, you know, kind of network who'd be interested, because if I'm going to ship clothing to someone, I'd prefer to ship it to someone I know. You know?
Right. So, right.
I posted some things in like some public albums on Facebook and encouraged people to share them. And like in a weekend, I made $300. And I thought, I think I might be on to something.
Yeah.
And so then I made like a little Facebook page, and that's how I did everything for the first couple months. I quickly ran out of my clothing. So I would go thrifting. I've always been someone who like not has an eye for style, but also like I am my mother's daughter. Like, I can always find a good deal. So I you know, started thrifting and kind of getting more stuff, and would post it in my little Facebook page. And then it got to the point where it was too much. It was a lot of work to like post things and then send invoices through PayPal. I had to do everything in real time. So I got a website. And then a year after that, I got a better website and started doing a blog. And then I started doing some pop-up shops. And then that was about the time where I decided to move back to Minnesota with the intent of opening a brick and mortar space here.
So did you always only sell plus sizes, or was it all sizes?
No, never all sizes, only plus sizes. There's enough all size everything everywhere.
It's so true.
We don't need that in the world. We don't.
It's so true. Yeah. It drives me crazy when somebody, when like a company announces that, like Swimsuits for All just announced a couple months ago that they were expanding to sizes 4 and 6. I was like, sizes 4 and 6 do not need you, Swimsuits for All. They can find a swimsuit anywhere. Like, it's
and
so...
Like, yeah, I don't understand how they think that that's like a profitable decision. I mean, maybe it is. They've probably done the research. They, you know, they're hopefully they're making data-driven decisions, but it's just like, why would you ever do that? Yeah.
Right. Like, the market is so saturated, it seems like, for straight sizes. Just seems like a smart business decision to provide for a market that needs, you know, needs the inventory. Anyway.
Right? Like, who are you telling? I know.
So dumb. It drives me absolutely crazy. So, yeah, so bad. what sizes did you, have you been selling for Cat's Closet?
So I always just say extra large and up, or size 14 and up. What happens now is that I literally wear everything. So if I'm doing a pop-up event, you know, I'm not necessarily wearing everything, but everything that I put online, I wear it all. And it's amazing what I can squeeze this body into, or like how I can make something that's a lot bigger than what I would normally wear work. So because of that, like usually it's about 16 where I'll cut off. But I am open to 14. And some of the smaller items that don't fit me, I'll have someone else maybe wear them for photos, or all those will be the items that I bring to pop-up events where people can be trying them on in person. But it's always extra large and above. And I've only done women's clothing or sort of more femme clothing, but I'm excited with my expansion to do more masculine and androgynous styles as well. And so that's why I'm focusing more on this idea of like extra large and up as opposed to 14 and up, because I don't want it to be gendered. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that makes total sense. So, okay. So let's talk about the expansion. So, so you, how did this happen? You were just like, finally, like, okay, I've done so many pop-ups and the website's going well. Like, I think I'm going to move to a brick and mortar. Like, how did you make that decision?
Yeah, I think I sort of always wanted to. Oh, this is something I wanted to mention too. This is like, I don't often share this part of like the how things came to be story, but I think it's kind of fun. I remember like before I did any of this, it must have been like 2013, I was in grad school and I'm a big journaler, and I was journaling and trying to like think about what I wanted to do with my career. I was about to graduate from grad school. I was like, do I move to New Orleans? Do I not move to New Orleans? Do I go somewhere else? Like, what do I do? What kind of positions should I pursue? And I remember writing down like, or like, I could just say like, whatever, and open up a plus size thrift shop. And then like literally in my journal, it's like dot, 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 but that's a word though. Dot, dot, dot. How could, you know, and it's like, there's like a couple of pages of me just sort of like brainstorming, like thinking more about this idea. And again, yeah. It just like kind of got put to the side and not thought about for a while. But I think from the very beginning, I always had wanted to do something brick and mortar. So
yeah,
the online was just like sort of, it was practical and easy and had very little overhead and was super manageable.
Right.
And kind of a good way to like test the waters.
Yeah. You kind of taught yourself that you could do it.
Yeah. And similar to what you were sharing me about, like sharing with me about how you learn to like, you know, design a logo and learn to do this, learn to do that. Everything that I've done, I have learned to do with the help of Google and like Squarespace help search functions. Like,
like
it's a lot of self-taught stuff.
Yeah. I love doing that. Like if I want something done, like I want to figure out how to do it myself. Like I think part of it's because I don't like to ask for help. Like I'm a little headstrong in that way, but yeah, I just think like, well, I could hire someone to make a logo for me, but like, I could probably figure it out myself. So I'm going to try, like, see how it goes.
Yeah. I'm similar. And also like, especially with starting things, from the very beginning, I've tried to do things. I've had, more time than money oftentimes. And so like being able to try to tackle something myself sometimes is a better business decision for me in the moment than trying to hire it out. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Same. Yep. Same for sure. So the new brick and mortar store is going to be called Cake.
Yeah. So I'm like, I have a new name because Cat's Closet, though it's cute, whatever, it's me, I'm Cat. It's not so great for the Google. People always think it's like a cat-related thing. It's so funny. Some of the emails I get, I'm like, I will sometimes respond and be like, did you even click on the website? Like, there's not cats there. It's clothes.
Like, it's literally cat clothes, like, that you put on your cat, like little shark outfits.
I mean, that could be a thing, right? Not on my website, but it could be, you know?
It could. Yeah, maybe somebody else named Cat can pick up those reins and run with that idea.
That. Yes. Our new name is Cake Plus Size Resale, and I am just like over the moon about the new like logo and rebrand and name. I think it is so like fun and fresh, and a little bit silly and a little bit edgy and just everything that I kind of wanted.
I really love the name. I think cake is like, I mean, obviously cake is, everybody loves cake, but also like it just is like a very chic name, and I just think it's like a great decision.
I do too. I love it. And I can't take credit for it. I didn't come up with it. A friend and kind of local influencer helped me with branding and some design stuff. And she came up with the name, and it is just, it is everything.
Yeah, it's perfect. I love it. So, So you are raising money right now on Indiegogo?
Yeah. So we have this Indiegogo campaign happening, and it is just like, it's going so well. I mean, I'm simultaneously in a space where it's like, it's going so well, but also we have so much farther to go, but it's awesome, but so much farther, you know, sort of really celebrating where we're at, but also acknowledging like there's a lot more to go. I've like financed my business for the last 3 years myself and just sort of slowly grown. But you know, moving into a brick and mortar space, like I just need funds to be able to make that happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so crowdfunding seems to be has been, seems to be successful so far for us, there's really like a lot of community support. I have the most amazing people around me. And that was part of the reason I decided to move back to Minnesota, actually. A couple of falls ago, it was like fall 2015, I came back for a couple weeks. I had a couple pop-up shops. I had my 10-year high school reunion and a Hamlin like alumni thing. It just several really like wonderful, warm, fuzzy moments happened over the course of this trip back home in fall. That was really the time where I thought, wow, if I'm going to do this, like I should be back here. There are people who are just going to like go so hard for this and people who are going to really be there to support me. And so if this is something I do, so I need to do it. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of community support. And also I should mention, like, I do some other stuff besides my work with my shop. I have a small, body positive training and consulting business with a friend. And we also, these aren't the same thing, but it's the same friend. We started a Facebook group that's sort of grown. It's called the Twin Cities Fat Community. And it's just for fat folks in the Twin Cities who are cool, calling ourselves fat, and very like into more radical body politics. And we're like it's an online space, but also we do meetups usually once a month, sometimes a couple times a month. This summer we've been doing a lot of stuff, but it's cool because many of those people, it's just like they're wonderful folks to have in my world, but and also they're so supportive of like all of this business stuff, and I just don't know what I would do without them.
That's so amazing. And I always want to talk about and support people that are hosting and organizing events for fat people in communities, because I told you that's how I got involved in all of this. Yeah. So, and I feel like it's just so world opening for fat people to like find their people. And so I think that's such important work. So that's so cool. I'm so happy to hear that you're doing that.
Thank you. It seems like, or we've been learning from people that it's like, a lot of, there's a lot of community that can be gained online, but you want that in person. That's like, that also is sort of why I want to have a brick and mortar space, right? So there's like the practicality of trying clothes on and having more inventory and that sort of stuff, but also just being a space where people can come and feel comfortable and be themselves and in the shopping experience and beyond, just feel, be in a very body positive, fat positive space.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
So I'm so happy to hear that you're doing all of this. Like this is so cool. So
that's kind of popping here in the Twin Cities. Like I don't know. And things were happening before I moved back, but I feel like this is just a really good time, really good people. And it's so easy and fun to be able to bring all these folks together because they're so amazing. It's awesome.
That's so cool. So, okay. So you have your Indiegogo going on. So, so when is your opening date supposed to be, or do you have a goal or like a location picked out yet?
It's yes and no. Let me give you everything I know so far. So I am such a planner. I love to make plans stick by my plans. But what's difficult right now is that there's a few things that are kind of up in the air, and that's sort of like how it works. For instance, I don't have a space yet. Because I'm hoping to open in October. So my goal is to sign a lease in September and hopefully get in a space and then open the shop in October. But like, for instance, the spring I was looking and everywhere I called were like, you don't want to be here till September or October. Call me back in August. No one wanted to. I was moving too quickly. And then also there's a financing piece. Like I need to see how much we can generate with the crowdfunding campaign. And then, try my luck at a small business loan if that's not getting us to where we need to be. So those things are kind of, it's like one thing is contingent upon the next, which is contingent upon the next sort of thing. I will definitely be in St. Paul or Minneapolis. I'm not interested in being in the suburbs. I want to be right in the city. And personally, I'm a bit more of a St. Paul person, but many of my customers are more Minneapolis folks. So I know wherever I am, it'll be fine.
Thankfully you're close enough that people will travel, so it'll be fine.
And like it's just Minneapolis, St. Paul is literally like right next to each other. And I do see also my space being a bit of a destination location. So if there's people in greater Minnesota or if people are you know, traveling and like, you know, in the Twin Cities on vacation or for travel, for work or pleasure or whatever, I hope that my shop can be a space where people would want to stop by because it is unique. And they'll be able to have a shopping experience that they wouldn't be able to have many other places.
Right. And people will travel for good plus thrift. I mean, so I lived in Ohio, right? And Redress is in Cleveland. People come from everywhere to come to Redress. So,
yeah,
you'll be fine.
Yeah.
People will definitely come, will definitely travel to get to you. Because it's just something that you don't find in your own city. And it's like, plus size clothes are so hard to come by, especially like cute ones. So if people have an opportunity to find something new and different, then they'll come to you. So you'll be fine.
I think so too. And also like, in addition to it, just like it being all plus, there being lots of options, I want it to be how it is now, like a curated sort of collection of things, not just like any old thing that's in a 4X, you know?
You don't want like a lot of beaded t-shirts from Catherine's. Like, that's not what you're looking for. Just because it's in a 4X.
And that's what you find now at these thrift shops, and that's not what I'm up to.
Nothing against Catherine's if they ever decide to sponsor the show, but I'm not a beaded giraffe kind of girl.
Me neither. But I will say this. I am a huge proponent. I always have been of, I look everywhere for stuff. And there's not a store I can't find at least one piece in that I would like to wear.
Not one store.
You know, it's just all how you put things together. And I have found some great pieces from Catherine's. I don't shop there. Like myself, but I find Catherine's pieces at, you know, like when I'm sourcing stuff, at different thrift shops, and there's some good things, certainly.
Yeah. I actually worked at Catherine's when I was in college. In Virginia. I was living in Virginia at the time. So I worked at a Catherine's. It was very, very hard work, but I definitely wore their clothes. Like, there was definitely things there that I did enjoy. And also, they're one of like three retailers that actually offer above a size 30. So, I mean, can't hate them for that. Like, at least they're providing the clothes in larger sizes, so.
Yes, which is important.
And some people do like wood beads on their clothes. It's fine. It's whatever you're into. So, okay, so you're hoping to open in October, right?
October,
Somewhere in the Twin Cities.
Somewhere in the Twin Cities. The crowdfunding campaign is going really well so far. So I have an initial goal of 16,000 and then I have two stretch goals. And I am confident we can surpass the initial goal and like make our way to at least the first stretch goal. I have some really exciting perks that, that's kind of like how crowdfunding campaigns work, right? Like, if you contribute money, you can just straight up donate or you can choose perks. And we have awesome stuff. So there's like some lower level things, these like awesome body positive stickers, and like a tote bag with our logo on it. And then also some bigger things like being invited to our grand opening, like, you know, pre-open party, being in a photo shoot, having your name on the wall. I'm actually so, just like so pleased and honored how many people have chose that level. Like, to be able to, you know, get a couple of the smaller perks, but then also have their name on a space in our shop. It warms my heart. Like, you wouldn't believe. So there's lots of good stuff. And then a couple like bigger things, like, you know, a party where we might close down the whole shop for your friends and that sort of thing at higher price points. I'm also going to be debuting, I'm really excited about this, a clothing rental program. Online, but I'm going to start in shop. And then if it goes well, I would consider doing it online as well. Because, you know, those have gained more popularity recently, but I think having a place where you can come in person and like literally pick out 5 items that you're going to have for this month and then bring back would just be a game changer for people.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So that's exciting. I'm excited about too. Oh, and I don't know if I've had the opportunity to mention, I will be continuing online, and in fact, I want to enhance my online offerings. So, like, right now, I have usually about 50 available pieces in my shop at one time, and I'm hoping to move that closer to, like, 200-ish, so kind of quadrupling the amount of things I'm able to have in my online shop. I think it'll be a lot more doable because I'll be moving to more of a resale model where I won't be sourcing everything, but folks can come to me and they can sell clothes for cash or store credit.
For sure.
Just like having stuff together and like being able to just like take pictures at the shop on a regular basis will make it so much easier to make the online stuff happen too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you. This is going to be so cool.
Oh my gosh, thank you. And please come visit.
I definitely will. I mean, I'm sure I'll find a way there eventually. I was going to say when you were talking about names on the wall, I remember, so this is how close-knit the plus-size community is on some levels, because when shops open, like, there is just, like, nationwide, even, like, worldwide, there's just so much support. Like, I remember when Fat Fancy was opening in Portland. I've never been to Portland. But, like, everybody was so excited to help them out and, like, crowdfund. And they did they had a perk where you could have your name on their, like, dressing room doors. And, like, the response was so great. And I think, like, that says a lot about, one, it says a lot about how awesome the plus size fashion community is and how supportive it can be. And also it says a lot about how, like, small of a community it is and, like, how we have to band together to support people that are actually providing clothes for us, because it's not, because, like, we don't get that in a lot of places. So
exactly.
So yeah,
it's like, there's just so much left for us. And it's hard because, like, there's more now than there was maybe 10 years ago, but it's still just like, it's so much less. Than what folks wearing straight sizes get. And so you're so right on all those levels. I think people, we really do like band together and support because we know it's so needed.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's so exciting. I'm so excited to see how things are going and, like, keep an eye on your crowdfunding campaign. So what's the link for Indiegogo?
Sure. So it's just tinyurl.com/ I said that funny. Let me repeat that. It's tinyurl.com/cakeplussize. So we're cake plus size on everything. Mm-hmm. So like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And then, you know, everything's linked to everything. But the Indiegogo, just do tinyurl.com/cakeplussize and it'll take you there. And watch the video. I'm so proud of this video.
I watched the video. It was adorable. I loved it. I watched the video yesterday. It was so good.
I'm really, really proud of it. And thankfully, just this wonderful woman helped me create it. And it's the people in it are all like my friends and customers. And so that's just really beautiful. And what was sweet is, like, in the video, I asked them to talk a little bit about, like, what they were excited about for the shop or, like, a positive experience working with me, you know, in the past. And, like, it was just so humbling because almost all of them said something that they hadn't, like, said to me before. And it's just so sweet and wonderful and speaks to really, like, how great, I don't know, this community is and how supportive they are of what I'm up to. It's awesome.
Yeah. So happy to hear that. And I can't wait to see how it all goes. And, like, I'm going to be keeping up with it for sure. I'm definitely going to come visit, so.
Yes, please come. Come.
Just make sure you have some extended sizes for me, and so I won't be sad.
No, I will. If you let me know when you're coming, like, you're you. So, like, let me, like, pull stuff for you in advance. And then also, if you come to the Twin Cities, let's coordinate it, and you can maybe join us for some kind of Twin Cities fat community thing or something.
Yeah, absolutely. We could do, like, a little Fat Lip live recording. That'd be fun.
Oh my gosh, that would just be makes my heart so happy. That sounds awesome.
that would be so fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. We're gonna make that happen. Okay. So, anything else you wanted to add before we sign off for the episode?
No. I think we're good.
Just follow you everywhere on social media.
Follow me everywhere. My personal social media, my Instagram is cat inspired. And that's pretty popping too. And I also, I've made the decision to be more open with my Facebook. So if anyone wanted to, like, find my personal Facebook and friend me, they could. There's just an exponential amount of sass, and information that gets shared on my Facebook.
Thank you so much to Kat Polavoda for chatting with me today and for the work you're doing to provide thrift options for fat people. Learn more about Cake Plus Size and contribute to the Indiegogo campaign at tinyurl.com/cakeplussize. And don't forget to follow on social media. As she said, you can find her at Cake Plus Size pretty much everywhere. As of today, the Indiegogo campaign is at just under $10,000, with a goal of $16,000 with 11 days to go. So if you can, please donate. Every little bit helps. And if you can't donate, please share the campaign on social media. The more eyes that see it, the better the chances that she gets funded. So thank you, Kat. I'd like to thank Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's show. Hear more at seestarcrusher.bandcamp.com. And our Patreon patron of the day is Devin, who was on the show with me last fall. Love you, Devin, and I hope your chill is growing in. If you'd like to support the show, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. Patrons are the reason this show continues to exist every month. So if you have a dollar to spare per episode, you could be a part of that too. Go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out more. And if you have a moment, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Every rating and review means more people can see us, and more fat positivity is one of the things that the world needs right now. And finally, don't forget to follow the show on social media. We are Fat Lip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and The Fat Lip Podcast on Facebook. On Pinterest and YouTube, we're just The Fat Lip. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.